boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm Shark Taco.
And I'm John Lobster. 20 years ago this week, Marvel Comics mutant heroes The X-Men hit the big screen for the first time in Bryan Singer's feature film for 20th Century Fox. Following an incredible run in the 90s that saw the Children of the Atom dominate comic, video game, and action figure sales, not to mention Saturday morning cartoons, X-Men was a box office hit and one of the top 10 highest grossing films of the year 2000.
Lobster, what the hell are you still doing here? I thought you were on vacation.
Actually, I am. What you're hearing is merely a telepathic projection that I'm able to create with the assistance of my mobile cerebro. Shall I continue?
Yeah, go for it, dude.
An X-Men movie had been in development since 1984 within three different studios with James Cameron, Catherine Bigelow, Robert Rodriguez, Paul W.S. Anderson, and yes, Brett Ratner among the directors considered at various stages. Writers like Andrew Kevin Walker, Lita Kalogridis, John Logan, Michael Chabon, Ed Solomon, Tom DeSanto, Christopher McQuarrie, and Joss Whedon all made attempts at cracking the story. In the end, Fox chose Singer, along with a script by David Hayter, to create the first blockbuster comic book movie of the modern era. The X-Men film franchise would continue to be a major box office force for two decades, with highs, X2, First Class, and Logan, and Lowe's, The Last Stand, Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, and Wolverine Origins, and a few in between, like The Wolverine and Days of Future Past, as well as spin-offs like the super successful Deadpool movies and the oft-delayed New Mutants. And X-Men also helped set a more grounded tone for comic book movies, like Spider-Man, Hulk, Daredevil, and Batman Begins. Oh, and let's not forget that X-Men's production team included a lowly associate producer by the name of Kevin Feige, who would go on to lead Marvel Studios to incredible heights, as well as pave the way for Disney to buy Fox and thus bring the X-Men home to Marvel. There's a lot to unpack with this movie, but unfortunately my cerebro is starting to lose the Wi-Fi signal, so I'll have to leave you here. I'll try to possess Wing's brain in a bit so he can read the movie's specific ratings. Have fun, and remember, don't hit him in the balls.
Wing and I haven't talked about this movie in 435 numbered casts. Yes, back at episode 46, with less than 6 or 7 casts under my newbie belt. It was confusing, but fun. So now for a little bit better look, Wing and Taco.
Oh, I was so much better. I had 46 cast under my belt.
I know. You were a pro.
Right there.
You were a pro at that point in time.
God. But you know what? This aged well.
It aged really well.
As a movie, as a story, it did.
Oh, yeah.
As a special effect, well, we can point all of them as being kind of cheap. But it was the 2000? Like, 2000?
Yeah, so made in 99.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not pretty.
No, it's not.
It's prettier than yellow spandex.
Is it?
Yeah.
They make it, well, Lobster pointed something out that on two later, but they, I think they did a lot of that black leather because it cleans it up a bit for the masses. And they just got off the Matrix the year before.
Yeah, they were going like, what if we put them all in leather flight suits and try to team them as the as X-Men? Like, if you look carefully, you see like the Wolverine ones have like claw marks on the side, and Storm has a cape, and they all have a little bit something to differentiate them. But they moved, they stayed with these suits for a while.
See, I said last week about the special effects, the when Hugh Jackman, or sorry, when Wolverine cuts the shotgun in half, but it's before that. It's when he pins the guy up against the pillar, the two come out, and then the one slowly comes out. That's like, that will always be the shot for me.
But it's not there. You look at that today, you see that it's drawn on top of the film.
No, right, but I still, that is still the one that back then I was like, oh my God, it's a claw. Like, 20 years ago, this was, you didn't see anything like this. The closest we got to a superhero movie was Blade, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that is number two there.
That was pretty cool, gotta admit.
Yeah, Blade was fucking awesome.
The Black Leather comes from there.
Yeah,
fierce
true.
Competition.
It is, but this, again, this was like, even though the first Avengers wasn't the greatest movie, it had all these characters we'd never seen together, and this did the same thing other than in cartoons for me. At 20, I still felt like a kid of 92 or 94 when the cartoon was out.
The big thing also is that it took it seriously. The last thing we've seen was Batman and Robin with all the cold puns, and it's really freaking cheesy as hell. And it kind of killed the superhero genre for a while, and it took Marvel being desperate and under bankruptcy law and all that bullshit for this to happen. But hey, I mean, even their sequel is super well set up. When you finish this, you just want to pop in too.
Yes, you do. And the start with Magneto. I mean, we come back to it in First Class and all these other things, but them ripping at your heartstrings right away with him and his parents in a concentration camp.
Oh my gosh, that opening. We actually watched that opening just this week as an example, a great example of building a character before the credits.
And it absolutely, because it's so, I mean, devastating. You don't need anything. The rain, the barbed wire, and the tattoo on their arms.
It might be the best scene of the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's the simplest, yeah, for sure. And it in those 30 seconds, 20 seconds, it sets up the bad guy's motivation. And I don't mean the bad guy, but, you know.
But it's set up, not just that. It's set up, not just motivation as much as reality.
Mm-hmm.
You put him as a World War II Jewish survivor.
Yeah.
You got everybody in the room in 2000.
Even now. I mean, his, walk with me here, it's a tiny journey, but his speech at the end with Wolverine or whoever, Magneto's speech when they're in the Statue of Liberty, where he talks about they don't want you here, they hate you, it's even today. Like, it, with the race stuff that's going on, it felt very like he could have been at a podium talking to, I don't know, it was a lot more moving and poignant today than it was 20 years ago for me, his speech at the end.
Yeah, because it didn't feel like as much of a real issue then. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that much in the public discourse that we still had hate in our societies. It was more seen like a thing of the past, right? Nazis, haha.
Right.
Whereas today, no longer the case.
No, they're rampant everywhere.
And these are, unfortunately, themes that comes back. So that's how you can take this intro and do it five movies later, and everybody remembers it, and all of a sudden you have another point of view. It's one of the most marking scenes, I would say, of their first four or five entries.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like only 10 of these entries, so you go pretty fast.
When they do it again in First Class, it's everything this one is, but so much more. So it's more over the top and overt, but this one is like a nice, quick gut punch, you know?
Ugh. And again, gets you into reality right away, and you set up the tone, and you know that you're not going to watch Batman and Robin.
I'm glad they gave Rogue her stripes, because in the beginning I'm like, what? Rogue's got like a skunk tail bangs. Like, what's going on? Why is she not, you know? But by the end, you clearly see what happens. It's all those little things, all the banter between Wolverine and Cyclops and the shit talking and
yeah. And all the comic book laws, like you said, like the bang of hair. Oh yeah, the superpower of the contraption gave her a streak of white hair.
Right.
You know, it's that kind of consequences. What were we talking about also during the film, that there's just these weird laws that, like, how is this happening this way? We're not in a world where we deal with the consequences of anything. We're in the world where we are exploring relationships between people and the specific specific, like, space-time, so they don't really bother, like, with much of the tedious aspects of dealing with anything that's going on. It's all about, like, being angry or, you know, feeling betrayed or things like that.
That, imagine the PTSD, the guy with the bullet that just goes around in his head that Magneto just keeps there and just waits to let go. That guy's not sleeping for the rest of his life.
No, I mean, yeah, anytime he hears a gun click or a set of keys drop, he's going to shit himself.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. I would live in a house of plastic.
You too?
Yeah. Oh, the very end with him in the cell of plastic is so perfect and excellent. Set up X2, how they get him out, but still, it's great.
He would find a way to steal the iron from people's blood. Like.
That's what he does.
That's what he does.
Isn't
that's
it?
What happens
there
in the second movie.
Yeah, he.
Oh, you're right. I forgot.
Spoiler alert. What's her face? Raven or
Raven.
Yeah, Mystique.
Mystique.
Buys a guy a beer who works there and gets him in the bathroom making out with him and drugs him and then injects him with a few extra vials of iron for his blood, and Magneto pulls it directly out of his skin and forms little like stress balls that just, oh, it's so great.
That was gruesome. Again, when you think about it, this guy gets literally the middle, gets out of his pores.
He goes to the train. I mean, we're jumping all around. It's a good flick. We can talk about
that's
it's,
what we
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
And if you want more, like, in order, you can listen to Cast 46.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You and I, well, we probably did. I probably had notes, so we followed the notes in my stammering. But, okay, so Wolverine goes to find Rogue because she ran away because Mystique, as Bobby, told her she's a horrible person, whatever. And when Magneto finds them on the train, Wolverine pops his claws out and Magneto kind of holds him up. And then he's like, don't tell me that lovely metal runs through your entire body, and then flexes his whole body like Jesus. Every time he does that, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt.
Every time you flick him on the wall at the back, I'm happy that you see everybody duck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, boy.
Yeah.
In real life, there would be one or two heads going away.
At least.
You know?
And can we talk about how fabulous Magneto is? Like, can we talk about this flamboyant performance?
Oh, he's gangster.
He's so good. He's just like, you know, the way he flicks them up into the air, he's like a figure skater or something. I don't know.
He is kind of feminine, I guess, when he does that. But he's such a badass. Like, I don't know, the helmet from the comic books, that is always how I try to shave my beard, in that shape, like, big fat chops, and then it comes down around the chin. He's such a badass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is a badass. Hey, and
he's so in control. He's in control of everything.
They're both such puppies. Him and Patrick Stewart in this, they're like 11.
Yeah. Oh, Patrick Stewart is like smooth, like the smoothest skin.
He was just 80 like this week, so that means that he was a young 60.
He was 60 in there? Oh my God, if I look like his 60 when I'm 50, I'll be happy. Like, he's...
The thing is that he was looking like this at 30, so that's the advantage. At some point, nobody can tell how old you are.
Yeah, you've been so old for so long.
I mean... Steve Martin. Xavier was great. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine was iconic and phenomenal.
And lucky.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't cast.
Oh, can we talk about his accent?
Is Canadian accent?
The worst Canadian accent. I don't know if you could tell, Beef, but that man sounds Australian.
I honestly couldn't, because it's like he doesn't say much. And it was, my ears were on the Halle Berry horrible accent.
Because
she's supposed to be, like, South African, and they gave her, like, three lines to say. And after that, she's like, fuck it, I'm just going. Like, next, X2, she totally gave up on the accent. And she's just like, hi, I'm Miss Barry.
Yeah, it's funny, because she's doing her French accent in this. When she's and you're like, why?
When she says her amazing lines.
Yeah, like, two of them.
She has the one, if not the worst line in the history of movie making. Come on. What happened to a toad when it's hit by lightning, Beef?
The same thing as everything else.
Seriously?
Slow clap.
Yeah, I mean...
Somebody wrote that and was paid.
I don't know. It wasn't me. But, I mean, you got James Marsden. All these people that we know from other stuff now. It's so great. I'm sad Famke Janssen left, though. We haven't seen her.
She was a Bond girl at that point already. She was a catch for them.
Oh, she was a Bond girl before. See, I always forget when she did Bond. Just like, so wait, this movie has two Bond women.
Yeah, but Halle Berry is going to be Bond between X-Men 2 and 3.
But still, okay, two Bond alum.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, thank God they have badass women on board, because the men are whiny as hell.
Oh, my God.
What is going on with this?
The men are weak in this movie. The women are like... And that... Nobody really gives it praise for that, Taco. I'm glad you pointed that out, because they are such strong women.
Yeah. Can we talk about Mystique? She's so good. I mean, like you said, she has just a few lines. Like
One line.
Another person who doesn't talk in this film, because she's always played by other people, obviously. But the character is so cool. She's like the perfect spy. She's herself. She is completely unapologetic about what she is and who she is and what she looks like. She's just a badass the whole way through, and she's the only competent person there.
Especially on the bad side, she's the only competent person at all. I mean, Sabretooth is fucking special head case.
Well, he's the ultimate warrior, basically.
Yeah, he is. He's definitely the ultimate warrior from 80s Tyler and 90s
Mane,
wrestling.
Come on.
But Mystique is like, she is the ultimate spy. She is the ultimate, especially as they flesh her characters out in the next 3 to 8 movies. She's snarky. She's a shithead. She doesn't take shit from anybody. And she's, you know, sexy as hell on top of being a killer. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And I can't see her face. Like, I can't remember that woman's face. I don't know for you, but she is the perfect chameleon in the sense that you look at her and you're like, I'll forget your face as soon as it goes off the screen.
In the next couple of movies, they make a point of showing the actress.
Yeah, because honestly, I don't know what's going on there, but is it just a bad makeup job that it was really like...
She was a model, not an actress, and she started taking acting class and she became, like, competent. So she got more and more lines.
Yeah, she's... Rebecca Romijn, she was married to John Stamos years ago, and she was a very attractive, tall, leggy blonde, so they wanted somebody that looked good in the paint, and then she realized she might want to do a couple more lines. So yeah, they, like Wing said, they show her a couple times as herself dressed up to like pick up a date in 2 and 3, I think.
In 3, she's in prison because she loses her power, so she reverts to what she's supposed to look like, and they gave the actress that look.
Oh, fuck, that's the one with Juggernaut.
Ugh. That's the bad one. Not the good Juggernaut. The good Juggernaut takes Deadpool and split him in 2. That's a good Juggernaut.
Okay, Toad, how bad is fucking Toad?
It's Darth Maul. Come on.
No, he's like a circus performer.
He's actually Darth Maul, the actor.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Ray Park. Holy shit.
You know, at some point, he takes like a stick and he does a little like it's a lightsaber.
Actually, yeah. He kicks the like pole out of the door that was holding it open and spins it.
And does a Darth Maul move. Yeah. It's not even subtle at all. It's just like in your face.
Well, when was
almost had a carrier.
I mean, I enjoyed his physical work.
That's what he does.
Yeah.
When was Darth Maul on screen in?
In 2 movies, in Phantom Menace and a cameo in Solo.
Ah, yes.
And did you catch the moment where Toad teabags Sabretooth?
No, what?
What, you missed that?
Because basically Sabretooth gets knocked back and he's just on the floor lying on his back, and Toad jumps up over him with his feet like on either side of Sabretooth's face, and it's like he's crouching down at him, and you can clearly, there's like a moment of full shadow screen. You know that's the contact.
So it's like, so you're telling me it's like every shitty little video gamer that kicks my ass?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's in the middle of the movie action sequence at the train thing. Yeah, he does teabag him. I'm like,
that's when you see, like, you know, how relationships are with the good guys and how relationships are with the bad guys.
But I was pointed out, the good guys, they all look like you and me. Some of their powers suck, but when you look at them, they just look like normal humans. Mm-hmm. Most of the bad guys just devolve into a toad, some kind of bear,
I have a reason for that. Or an idea. The world treats the people that are outside visually mutants like monsters, so they become with a shittier outlook on the world because they've been mm-hmm. treated or ostracized. The people that are pretty on the outside just feel bad about it and don't want to hurt people and want to control their powers. So, like, I think it could be some of that as simple as that.
It's almost a race allegory, yeah? It's almost. What you look out like, outside.
Yeah, or I guess what fear it instills in people. Because, I mean, if you see Wolverine, he's a lot less scary than if Sabretooth comes around the corner and he hasn't shaved in 6 years.
But Wolverine can kill you way faster.
Correct. I like how they nerf him, though, or change Sabretooth in the coming movies and make him more of an actual character.
The idea is that all the upcoming movies are before this one, and at some point he kicks a second mutation.
Okay.
And he starts devolving into that thing.
Okay.
So that's why he starts following other people around instead of trying to do his own thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I have excuses for all that bullshit that Fox didn't care about called continuity.
Yeah. Well, continuity between all these movies.
Is. Yeah, because when you look at Magneto and Professor X in there, they're supposed to be the same age of as the people in Dark Phoenix. Mm. Yeah.
They're comic book characters. Like, this stuff, continuity in these movies doesn't necessarily matter as much because it's the whole reason I'm excited for the Marvel what-ifs, you know?
And this is pre-Marvel. Continuity did not matter that much. We have to understand that Iron Man and Batman Dark Knight came out the same year, and these two movies kind of changed the game based on what was happening 8 years ago with X-Men.
True.
Now continuity is important because people are expecting to go see Endgame and see all these characters that they've seen everywhere come together, because if Ant-Man did this in this movie and that bullshit and then Disney Plus...
Yeah, well, I mean, continuity didn't matter when you had only the one movie.
And you wouldn't, and you would not get Logan with continuity.
Ah, Logan.
What a great movie.
Amazing movie.
Probably the best X-Men movie they've ever made.
Probably.
Yeah, but if I want to say the best X, that's the best X-Man movie, somewhat X-Men. Yeah. If I want to say best X-Men movie, for me, it's probably First Class.
That's my favorite to watch. It's an old James Bond movie with mutants.
You're not wrong. What else do we got on this puppy, though? I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, but I mean, I think we keep dancing around some of the big stuff.
No, because there's not that many scenes. That's the thing. This is a short, economical 135 minutes of jam-pack. Here you go. Not a scene that's useless. But
true.
Especially not the shirtless scenes.
What the hell? He put a shirt on back.
Why?
And then she takes her shirt back off to put him into the electro something something.
Wait, what happened?
She puts him in a scanner that sees through your flesh and thinks she should remove his shirt, you know?
No, she just wanted, hey, ladies can want to see abs too.
And yeah, but the tickling part, like, he's like, hey, that tickles. Oh my god.
Yeah.
The men triangle. Are really weird in this film. Men are really weird. Like, all Cyclops does the whole thing is loses glasses or, like, you know, pick up after, like, women who got goo in their face or women who just got inadvertently stabbed or, like, looking for his stolen motorbike. Like, he's just the butt of every joke.
Oh, wait, in the next one, he's gonna get kidnapped after 20 minutes and you don't get him until the end.
He's basically Tuxedo Mask.
Yes. Yes, he is.
He's like a useless pretty boyfriend that gets kidnapped.
Hey, we need a prince to save somewhere. I mean, we don't have any princess in there, so let's go. You know?
He is kind of a Potts.
He kind of is.
And Bobby's just like a perfect romantic pretty boy.
It's okay. We can never touch.
Yeah, exactly. So this whole thing, honestly, it felt like they were trying to get the female audience.
That we can never touch. We were talking about that. But with good latex suit and skin-tight condoms, you can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
I would make this work if I was Bobby.
Yeah.
And I would be like, I'm safe. Nobody else going to go through this.
And Anna Paquin is a gorgeous young woman. But, I mean, I still like sucking face from time to time. So it'd be like... Just don't kill me. I just want to kiss you for 2 seconds, or what is it, a third of a second? Okay, don't kill. And then be in a coma for like a month.
Yeah, like have the ambulance parked outside.
Oh,
before you even start.
The condom fell.
Oh, no. And she's, at that point in time, she's in bliss, so she's like not even worried about you dying there or doesn't recognize.
She thinks it's fine. Right. It's fine. He's just enjoying himself.
She amazing thinks, horror movie that she, Disney could make here.
She thinks it's an orgasm, but she's just sucking the life energy out of you now.
common mistake.
Oh, that's a succubus. Never mind.
Come on, Disney. This is gold.
What, Taco, what, anything else stick out to you?
Not really.
The music sucks.
The special effects suck.
Most of the performances are not great,
but everything else is so damn iconic.
But it's so fun to watch.
Yeah,
it's actually fun to watch. So it got that. So
and it doesn't, like, you're right. It doesn't really drag much. It's pretty fast paced movie.
Every scene has some important thing important. I mean, he puts his beer on a bar, and in the background you have like the scene that set up the end of the movie. It's everything is important.
Yeah, it's calculated.
Ooh, good word.
Hey guys, I was able to hack my way into the U.S. Department of Mutant Registration servers, and I'm able to record a follow-up message just so I can give you my rating for X-Men, the 2000 blockbuster movie that set the stage for the modern comic book movie era. So I do want to share just a few thoughts I had while rewatching the movie. One of them, and this has always irked me a bit, is the costume. So I get it. They wanted to make it look sleek and exciting and modern, but the black leather on black leather costumes always seemed a bit blah, and they still do. The X-Men are colorful, quirky, exciting characters. In the 90s, kind of the most popular run, there was no standard uniform. Each character had their kind of own outfit with their own flair. And yes, yellow spandex. So I do miss that from this first run of X-Men movies. I love that in the First Class films and in Deadpool, you get to see some of the more comic book accurate-ish type uniforms. And certainly that's something we see being embraced more with the MCU and other comic book movies that are updating, making it more realistic, but my hope is that when the X-Men do return to the big screen, we finally get those comic book accurate outfits. I guess the other thing that kind of struck me while watching this is the production value. I think this movie looks awesome for a $75 million production. I mean, we had seen big budget extravagance in the Joel Schumacher films. This definitely looks more grounded and realistic than that. But for the value that we get in the design of the sub-basement levels of the Xavier Mansion, the look of the Blackbird, and the way everything kind of feels sleek but lived in, I think is really cool. And I do want to say, casting in this movie is iconic. I don't know if we knew it at the time, but Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, Hugh Jackman, Anna Paquin, James Marsden, who I've come to love through Westworld, Famke Janssen, who I think is really underserved in this franchise, and of course Halle Berry. I wish they had given her a little bit more to work with in her role as Storm, but I think overall the casting was a real coup for this franchise. I mean, they didn't have Hugh Jackman until 3 weeks into filming. That's crazy, because this is so iconic now. And again, this is the first of many times we get to see him without his shirt on. So overall, my memories of this movie and watching it back again are always positive, always strong. I think this is a really tightly scripted film. There are some humorous, dramatic bits, but it never truly goes over the top to corny. And it just feels like a fresh take on this genre. I think even 20 years later, this movie kind of sets the bar for the standard comic book origin movie. Bad guy has a plan. There's a glowy light in the sky, some sort of beam or ray or blob, and the team has to work together. They fail at first, they fall flat. Eventually they come together for a win. There's some sacrifice, there's some character growth, but you know, overall this really sets the template for almost every comic book movie that follows over the next 20 years, including a good chunk of the MCU movies. And I can totally see a young Kevin Feige like hanging out in the background, scribbling notes, being like, okay, yeah, here's what I do. Yeah, Bryan Singer, I get it. But I think this film is really instructive for what the genre is and what it needs to become. I think this movie goes a long way into earning audience trust for an authentic comic book movie experience.
Do you know what happens to a rating when it gets struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to every movie. Taco, for X-Men, are you going legendary?
X marks the spot.
Legend of its time.
Mutant and proud. Oh my god, no.
Cult legend.
Rogue One.
Awesome.
Clause of applause?
Clause for applause. Entertaining.
Welcome to Mutant High.
Mayable.
Don't you people ever die?
Forgettable.
I thought you live at the school.
I thought that of teachers when I was growing up. I thought they were like robots and they stayed there all the time.
They were beef.
Abysmal.
A world that hates and fears them.
Spring Breakers D&D.
X3? Dark Phoenix? Yeah, that sounds about
one
right.
One and the same. With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of bub.
Hard to tell. I mean,
by itself, without thinking of the other movies.
Clause for applause? I'm going to go awesome. This is something I saw the year that it came out. I saw it, I believe it was on the bus to my New York high school trip, because this was my last year of high school. And, you know, I remember watching it, but it kind of felt like I was watching it again for the first time. It's not the kind of film that gets referenced in culture. It's not the kind of film that people, you know, remember fondly. Like, it doesn't come up in conversation. It feels like, oh yeah, it was the first X-Men movie, and that's why it was so cool. And I really loved it. I love this movie, and I remember that this was the film that started my undying X-Men fandom. And you know what? It's still not a cult legend. It doesn't remake anything. It doesn't invent anything. It wasn't exactly the series of one-liners or punchlines that hero movies are today. But it was kind of, you know, jokey, like not serious, not dealing with reality at all, not gritty, just a series of, you know, action scenes. I mean, it's a competent film, it's an entertaining film, but it doesn't have quite what it takes to be a cult legend, and I'm sticking to that.
And I'm going to go the exact inverse of you. This is a cult legend. This has been on curriculum since 2015 in schools. This is one of the most important movie of the last 25 years after The Matrix. Why? Because this movie greenlit Spider-Man, greenlit Daredevil, greenlit Iron Man. This movie proved that Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, and even the Burton ones and the Superman movies, that superhero could live in a real world. You could tackle them by using other teams and just putting the icing on the cake. When you go back to this, the big debate is between Blade and this one. And unfortunately, Blade is what gave the idea to Marvel to make this. But that's the movie that started what we've been living now. It's like when there's movie theaters open, yeah, kids, at some point that was a thing. We had movie theaters like every week. There was box office. We went from having like maybe one every 2-3 years to one or two a year to now we're having like 3 Marvel movies a year, and DC is trying their best to compete, and we have The Boys on TV and all of that, and that's because of this damn movie. So, is it well shot? Eh! Is it well acted? Eh! Is it great? Eh! But that's the key. That's the one that made everything happen, and that's the one that is gonna keep being referenced. So, I'm giving it cult legends. It didn't invent anything, just put all the good ducks in a row. And nobody did it before. Beef?
Ah, shit. You both got some good points. It took everything serious enough, but not serious enough in my book. I loved it. I probably got to go Cult Legend 2, because this was, while I loved Blade and I was a fan of Blade, I think I even owned Blade on multiple formats at that time. This, it threw everything together. Literally 20 years ago, probably to the hour, I was sitting in theaters 20 years ago, because I usually went to 7 o'clock or 5 o'clock. So I was about halfway done with the movie at this time. And it, I just remember how I felt the whole way through and walking out of there. I was like on cloud 9. I didn't know that we would get every, you know, mutant and superhero property under the sun in the next 20 years, like you said, with The Boys and everything, even on TV. But this was new. This was rare. This was something that hadn't really happened yet, and it was kind of an event. I don't think it crushed it at the box office. I don't think it did that, but it showed that, like Wing said, that this is a viable entity, and that if people invest, that's fine. And there weren't as many one-liners in this like there are the newer ones, but I think it was more of a proof of concept. You know, make it look somewhat good, make it look somewhat believable, and if we can get the actors to take these characters somewhat seriously, it's not going to look like the Captain America from, you know, the 90s or whatever. It'll actually be something that people might like, and they did, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. So this is definitely cult legend, Rogue One.
This started a 10-movie franchise.
Yeah.
That it did. Okay, the last one sucked, and the third one sucked, and the ninth one sucked. But you know, there was some good ones in there.
Lobster.
Logan.
So, I'm going to go legend of its time, Mutant and Proud, because I think this film wears on its sleeve. It knows what it is. We open with that wacky kind of sliders, Stargate crawl through DNA strands. But I think it's owning the fact that we are dealing with freaks and misfits and weirdos, and that's something that the X-Men franchise has always been okay with. And I think that it meshes the allegory of the X-Men in terms of persecution, of minorities. I mean, we hit the nail on the head with this and that iconic scene in the concentration camp at the beginning, and we return to that again in First Class in a really cool way. But again, I think this movie is a legend of its time. It is by no means the best in the X-Men canon. I think X2 for me is really when this franchise fires on all cylinders, because they've established the universe and now they get to play in it. We get to play in that playground, and X2 for me has some of the best moments in the franchise, along with, I think, Logan, First Class, and parts of Days of Future Past. I think those are really some of the iconic X-Men stuff. Again, we get low points in this franchise, but it starts on a high note, and it really ups the game with number two. So for me, X-Men, legend of its time, and I cannot believe that this movie is 20 years old. That makes me old. That makes you guys old. With that, I'm going to back out of this government server before I get caught here, and I will see you guys next week for Birdman.
Last word on X-Men.
You're a dick. Okay.
We have to go back, come back as a group. Who's not part of the group?
What do you prefer, yellow spandex?
Actually, yellow spandex looks great.
It does, now that we know that.
So, it's time for news. Beef?
News time. All right, we have some box office before we all get shut down again because we were too stupid and rushed back. The Relic is still up there killing it, and followed by, you know, other stuff. I mean,
isn't that Star Wars at the top of the box office? I was reading this and I was like, oh, The Empire Strikes Back strike again. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because of the... I'll see what... I don't know, maybe. Lobster filled out the notes. He decided to leave us. Yeah, I don't know. Well, old movies are making money. I think this is the new stuff, but
yeah, that's all the new stuff. I don't think you still count box office on Ghostbusters and
Jurassic Park and whatever.
Yeah, but Empire made $400,000 this week, so yeah, that's better than most people. Okay. Holy shit.
Now we need a couple seconds for sadness. Lobster's not here. He usually brings the shit. But Kelly Preston, actress, and John Travolta's wife died at age of 57 of breast cancer. Grant Imahara from Mythbusters fame was found this morning, and Star Wars roboticist this morning or last night died of a brain aneurysm at 49.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that guy made a lot of things blow up in his days.
Yeah, and built a lot of cool robots, and I think he designed General Grievous and...
Holy shit.
And then Naya Riviera from Glee. She is an actress that was out boating with her son, and they found her son on the boat a few hours later, and she's been missing. And
now they found her body this morning.
Oh, they did?
Found her in the lake.
Okay, well, yeah. I know last night they declared her dead from drowning, even without the body, and then apparently they found the body. So, not going good. Doom and gloom this year, so everybody stay safe.
Hey, 2020 rocks, right?
No, 2020, we're seriously, in the beginning of the year when they said there were memes out, like, it's going to go 2019, 2021, you know, like a joke. But seriously, after this year, anybody that makes it through, I think we're just done talking about 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about 2021.
I'm done already.
More shit to be done with. More than 60 women joined together to launch a website, So Many of Us, to document their manipulation by writer Warren Ellis and encourage others to come forward. This is a gut punch. People are fucking douchey.
Yeah, another freaking genius motherfucker.
What happened? I didn't see this.
He was predatory against young girls, like, and like grooming them.
Yeah, grooming them, like getting a hold of them at like, I don't even know ages, but earlier than 18. Wow. And trying to stay in touch with them so that he could abuse them at the age of, I don't know, 18 or close to it. Or
and there's enough stuff there's a around, big pattern. So it's...
Wow. It's disgusting to see.
Yeah, this is probably going to went to.
I don't know how much actually happened, like, with minors, but the fact that he, like, groomed, I don't know, it's weird, groomed them to then, I don't
And some people were paid to shut up. And it was,
yeah, there's
it's not a good look.
With 60 women writing their accounts, it's hard to get through all the highlights and lowlights of this craziness, you know?
Yeah. It's like, I hate these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
HBO series Run canceled after one season. I know Lobster watched this. I have not watched this one yet, but I kind of wanted to.
No idea what that is.
Same.
So, well, that's probably why it's got canceled.
NBC's streaming service Peacock will launch next week without Roku or Amazon apps, just like HBO Max.
Again, that's a very American thing, because here Roku and Amazon apps are not big things. So
yeah, but we like we said last week, Amazon Fire Stick and Roku are probably the two biggest streamers for people that don't have like a Xbox or something, PS4, because most of the smart TVs sold in America as well, other than Samsung, usually have the Amazon software or the Roku software built in.
They also have a browser.
I know that you can easily type in that as well, but it's still... The app is there for a reason, you know? So
yeah, no, it's there for convenience. I get all that, but according to the number at HBO, they don't really care about this because it's going super well.
No, exactly. So. It's going so well that they picked up a documentary that I was really looking forward to, Class Action Park, a documentary on New Jersey's most dangerous amusement park, where people were losing teeth and breaking bones all the time. There was a water slide that did a 360-degree loop, and when people would go in to clean it out, they found multiple teeth embedded in the plastic at the top of the loop.
This is my kind of documentary.
Yes, this is... when this cast ends tonight, Taco, look up the trailer for Class Action Park, and this will be soon on HBO Max. I've been waiting for it for like a year.
Can't wait. I watch like stuff about old theme park all the time, so...
The New Pope and the Young Pope creator, or I guess that backwards, the Young Pope and the New Pope creator, Paolo Sorrentino, to helm The Hand of God for Netflix. He's apparently going to go back
home. He likes God. Okay.
yeah, but his other shows are very sinful. I don't know if that's the right word. They're not like...
Yeah, it's not like be a good boy and follow your Christianism.
Right,
it's more
exactly.
Like, it's more a little bit against that, but you know, yeah, just try something else, dude. I know I have a Bible here just for writing purposes because you reference the Bible all the freaking time. But come on, man, go do your Jude Law and become write a new Captain Hook or something.
Yeah, Jude Law is gonna play Captain Hook in a live action Disney Peter Pan.
Because we need another one of those. Remember the one with Smell Like Teen Spirit and Hugh Jackman?
I don't think I've seen any of them.
Really? Well, not even Hook?
Maybe, yeah, Hook, I guess. And maybe the early one from the 80s. But none of the new ones, I should say. I'm older than Peter Pan now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Blumhouse is buying a lot of movies that people want to see right now, huh?
Yeah, apparently they're going to do a Ryan Gosling Wolfman pick. It's been fast tracked with Leigh Whannell, director.
Whannell. But yes.
Well, yeah, Whannell. I have no idea who he is, but again, Ryan Gosling in a Wolfman pick. It could be good, but you're just going to furry him up.
Yeah, there you go.
You take an attractive dude, and now you're just going to glue a bunch of fucking hair on him for half the movie.
We just watched X-Men. That's what they did to Wolverine.
Well, I mean,
I didn't hate it.
Yeah. It'll work,
I guess. What's the other one? They're teaming up. Blumhouse and Ryan Murphy team up for an adaptation of Stephen King's Mr. Harrington's Phone.
Do you guys, Mr. Harrigan's Phone?
Did you Harrigan's? Jesus, I can't read tonight. Trying to read too fast, but still, do you guys know anything about this?
No, no idea. Nothing. What that is.
It's
okay.
Here, I read it here. A young boy who befriends an old billionaire who lives next to him in his small neighborhood. They bond over the man's first iPhone, but when the man dies, the boy discovers that not everything dead is gone, and he finds himself able to communicate with his friend from the grave by leaving voicemails on the iPhone that was buried with him.
Okay, that's new technology.
Watchmen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, it sounds weird, but Blumhouse makes weird shit okay sometimes, right?
Yeah, remember the movie with the toys walking around and just making, like, children, like, fearful and all that?
No.
Yeah, it's the first Toy Story.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was that creepy kid that was ripping their arms off and blowing them up and shit.
Horrifying stuff.
We all did that. Come
on. Toy Story 4 director Josh Cooley taking on Little Monsters for Universal.
Eh. Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know what Little Monster is, so...
This is not our...
This is not our time.
No, it's not. Our time is long past.
Yeah, because now they're talking about Ready Player 2, and I haven't read the first book, and now they're publishing a second book.
Beef, your news are making me feel old.
I know. Well, they're Lobster's news. It's not mine. I'm just going along with it. Apparently, Netflix's The Crown extended to six seasons to explore the modern period, the period that they're in. They're going to try to stick closer to it, give it more time to examine it, I guess.
Oh my god. Are they going to talk about Meghan Markle again?
They're going to be able to cast the actual queen at this point. I mean, god damn it. Okay, sure. Let's go. It's a good show.
It's a good show, honestly.
Did you guys ever see The Wonder Years?
No idea what that is.
All right. Well, ABC is rebooting it, but this time with a black family. So, topical and timely.
Okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Whatever. Happy Endings will have a virtual reunion episode. I don't know what that is.
No idea all what right, that thanks, is either. New Batwoman. They've replaced Ruby Rose already, and they're going with a black lesbian this time, going a little bit farther. And people, I've been surprised by the community. People have embraced it. I was like, people... When you're not adapting a character that's already existing in the comic, people are resistant. This is a brand new character that they're inventing out of nowhere. People loved it. So we'll see now when it actually airs.
Awesome.
She looks like she could kick some ass. I like the description of her. Today, Ryan lives in her van with a plant, a girl who would steal milk for an alley cat and could also kill you with her bare hands. I don't know. I like that.
Sounds more Catwoman, but okay.
Yeah, highly skilled and wildly undisciplined.
It's okay. If you need some Catwoman, you just have to watch the Batman TV show on HBO Max. So.
I'm excited for that. I don't know why I am, but I don't know. Again, I read somewhere, is this a good time for cop shows, though?
Well, for this cop show? Yeah. It's about a bunch of corrupt cops that are following the rules and all of that.
That's right. Watchmen did well.
There's something very good to do in there if you're sensible enough to read the country, I'm going to say.
I guess.
Not read the room, but the country.
True, yeah. Well, read the world. Clone Wars, the Bad Batch spinoff coming soon.
I'm excited about this. The Bad Batch is a batch of clones that they tried to make like special, and only a couple of them worked really well, so they're all specialized. You have an infiltrator, you have a super brilliant one, you have a sniper, etc., etc. They were introduced in the last season of Clone Wars that just came out a couple of weeks ago on Disney Plus, and they were a highlight. So,
give me a TV show. Get in there, because it's not 9 seasons or 7 seasons. I can just get into that, so I'm down.
Dude, just watch the last season of Clone Wars. Forget all the rest. Just the last season, right. You're going to love it.
Do me a favor, remind me that in like a month or two when I've slowed down on some of the shit I'm watching.
Just the way you described them made them sound kind of like the Suicide Squad of the Star Wars universe.
Yes, it is!
Because they're men without a country at this point in time, right? Because this is right after the fall, after the Clone Wars, so they've basically been decommissioned, so they can just go fuck off around the galaxy for a while.
No, they're supposed to all get killed and they're supposed to fuck off. We'll see how they fuck off.
But, I mean, no, yeah, they have bounties on their heads and they're supposed to die, but they can still, they're not under anyone's thumb, I guess.
Yeah, like Quibi. It's not under anyone's thumb.
Literally.
No one.
92% of users deleted the app after the free trial period ended.
Oh, my God. How much... how many billion they invested in this? It's not million, it's billions.
My out God. Of 910,000 people who downloaded it, they've only retained 72,000 people who decided to pick it up after the 3-month trial.
Superman sells more comic every month.
Wow, that's probably the most poignant thing you've ever said.
People might buy more paper to read Superman than they watch Queeby.
Wow.
Queeby sucks. Well,
Queeby sucks.
All right, let's get our dump on here. Die Hard on Queeby. Did you watch some of these trailers? Did you see the Die Hard one?
I've seen two of these trailers, maybe three.
Okay, well, I'll run through some of them. Die Hard, it's with him and John Travolta. Kevin Hart and John Travolta, he's trying to toughen up and be an actual action star. It kind of looks funny, and it looks really dumb, so probably a no.
Okay, no.
The Broken and the Bad. This is an AMC thing that will be hosted by Giancarlo Esposito, and it's like 5 or 6 episodes about actual meth labs and cops that are going to bust them and things like that.
Nice.
The criminal system all around, and then they're going to compare it to the reality that was Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. It's going to even include the legal system as well.
How can you milk more Breaking Bad?
I'll fucking watch it. I mean,
I'll watch right. it too. It's like if you were doing like a comedy about Star Trek, I would watch that too.
Oh, like an animated one called Star Trek Lower Decks?
There you go.
Yes, please.
This looks amazing.
That looks very good. It looks very, very good. It's they nailed the humor. The people are so happy. We're gonna see planets and everything. Now you're gonna watch this. This, it looks like the end of a Klingon something. It's like they got the humor on point with the right reference.
Unlike
and all that.
You.
Yeah. I have no reference.
I like how, like, I didn't watch the trailer because everyone told me how good it was, and I waited, and I just watched it before the show, and I'm so happy that it's even better than I thought it was going to be. Like,
yep.
Great stuff.
I mean, why did it take this long to get this?
Because CBS launched their streaming service that nobody cared about except for one thing.
Yep.
That was called Star Discovery. Trek, and they were like, oh, we need to do this Disney thing and become the Star Trek channel. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. We can do this.
Right, and be the Mandalorian
subscribe.
Channel.
There you go. So
the other one is Woke, Hulu exclusive. It's about ignorance is bliss and racism in America, but it's a comedy, and it kind of looks like it might have a fun bend to it. So I don't know if the timing was on purpose or it just happened to be that way, but it looks...
What's the black comedy you've been watching on Netflix?
Shark Oh, that Tackle? Was so good. It's a hashtag black AF.
Yes.
It's so good.
I haven't seen that, one.
That's basically, it feels like Curb Your Enthusiasm, but like, yeah, and with a black family.
Nice.
And tackling race issues a lot and in all sorts of different angles. And yeah, just hilarious. Not what you expect. Amazing.
And educational, so
yeah,
they have good yeah.
I so. Like education. Not away. Looks like a space station type show on Netflix. I don't know. It doesn't. The
last one I watched, we tried to watch at Katy Sackhoff, and it's
3023 or 2032 or something stupid.
I watched the first one, and I was like, I'm out.
Oh, no, the show
Better Lives something. Better Other Lives.
Yeah, it was a show.
Okay, I watched one with her on Netflix. It was a movie, but I started the show, and I think I only got about halfway through one. Same thing.
It's bad. It's just bad. So.
What about Lucifer? Did you guys watch Lucifer at all on Netflix?
I watch a little bit because it's a DC comic adaptation.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's not my kind of show. It seems great, but it's not my kind of show. This is more like a supernatural with a mafia bent.
Okay, yeah. It definitely has a, and it's polished like that too.
Yeah, I think you would like it actually. Be
again, it's
like
five
as a guy who
seasons.
Doesn't watch The Flash. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
The Umbrella Academy season 2.
Everybody tells me I should watch that. It's like an X-Men show.
You need if you okay. How about this? You got me to mainline Doom Patrol like a month ago.
You're farther than me in this right now.
No, the first season of Doom Patrol.
I'm at the start of the second. I haven't watched the finale of season one yet.
Okay, well, you need to watch Umbrella Academy too, because Doom Patrol was a lot of fun. Umbrella Academy is kind of on the same level. It's quirky and interesting. It's not as good as The Boys, just like Doom Patrol is not as good as The Boys, but they're all equally fun because they're not superheroes. They're all super zeros. They're shitbirds.
The Boys is probably my favorite TV show at the moment. I mean, they're not going to make more Watchmen, so...
How can you have one favorite TV show? I don't understand that.
Because it tackles everything I like. It's subversive, it's violent, it's superheroes, it's...
Well, September 4th, you get season 2. I'm ready.
Woo! But not all of it. They're doing the one-week thing. They understood that the big drop is not a good marketing thing.
Well, they're doing it week by week.
Yeah, they want the water cooler conversation. That's probably the best type of marketing that you can't buy.
What you call it, season 2, Doom Patrol did, they dropped 3 on the first Thursday, and then every Thursday after that they dropped 1, which was nice.
I think they're doing that with The Boys. They're like dropping the first 2 and they're longer or some bullshit like that. So
again, that's, I think, giving me 2 episodes right away or an hour and a half, that it gives you a little more of a hook. It sets the hook a little deeper in your brain to come back every week.
Yeah, hook my brain.
Hi, Doge. Movies you can watch at home. Love on the Spectrum on Netflix. Did you guys watch this trailer or not?
No.
None.
It's a dating thing on Netflix, and it's about people who have... No, hold on. Walk with me. It is a journey. It's about people who have different parts of the spectrum for autism. And I thought this trailer was going to be really exploitive and like shameful and weird. But by the end of it, it's like really heartfelt and fun. And this might actually be something I'd watch. Because, you know, everybody, no matter how you are in life, just wants companionship, realistically.
What is it, like a reality show?
It's not reality. It's like a movie, but it's I don't know. They do set people up on dates, but it's not like a contest. It's not like The Bachelor for people on the spectrum. It's more quaint than that.
Okay.
The next one is Video on Demand. It comes out August 7th. It's called I Used to Go Here. It's about some chick that goes back to her high school, and I don't know. The trailer looks interesting. The trailer looks interesting, but it's not something I'll see.
Tesla, that I'm curious.
This looks amazing, and it's somebody that we know in it, too. I just can't think of who is the lead guy. But it looks like a trip, a mind trip, and it looks kind of like a light biopic. I just don't know who plays the guy. I'm trying to look.
I don't think we're ready for Elon Musk.
Oh, really?
Ethan Hawke plays the 1800s or whatever inventor, so 1900s, whatever it was.
Oh, all so right. Not Elon Musk.
No, better. Absolutely not. Hopefully. Dude, were you serious?
Well, Tesla is a nice company.
Man, let's talk about the one that started it all, you douche. The next one is on Amazon Prime, actually 10 days from today, recording.
That's Jeff Bezos, huh? Yeah.
Radioactive. It is about the story of Marie Curie finding the radium. Finding another radioactive element or another element on the whatchacallit. And
hey, she died to find that, and then her husband got credit for years.
Didn't they both die?
They both died. That's one of the book that I'm reading, The Radium Girls. But she basically fought to have her name because they both submitted the paper, and the governing board basically recognized their shit and took her name off of it. So she fought to get it back and win the Nobel. So this looks good. This looks a lot of fun. And we know the actress in this, too. You guys just know I'm horrible with people's names. So
the one and only Ivan. Is that the Ultimate Warrior or something?
No, it's not. We're not back to him again. It's supposedly a somewhat true story about a performing ape, silverback gorilla, that was taken from the jungle when it was a baby, and then it learned how to paint, and then it painted like the jungle, so I think it got released again. But of course they Disney Plus it up and add a bunch of other talking animals and singing birds and shit. So parts of it I really would like to see, and how much of it's actually the story, and parts of it just seem too
Taco, you watched the dog that we're talking, like the Lady and the Tramp.
How was the Lady and the Tramp?
Did you watch 20 Minutes and Stop?
It was...
Is it weird?
It was it was really weird to watch their little realistic furry bodies be paired with those, like, human moving mouths. It was...
I don't know. I'm not going there.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No, good for you.
Yeah, it's freaky. Like, the eyes just...
Yeah.
Last trailer we have is Halloween Kills. It's just a snippet of...
So that's the third timeline of the franchise, this. So that's the sequel of... There's Halloween 1979, Halloween 2018, and this is Halloween 3. Right?
I don't know. It's just like the last whatever.
In this one, she's not his sister or some bullshit?
It's the last Terminator after the second two because they stopped all this. I don't fucking know anymore. People are killing people and one wears a mask. I don't know.
You know what, Beef? I think I really like Terminator Dark Fate.
I do, too. I don't really like it. I just like the different in it.
I think I really like it. I think I have a Terminator trilogy... finally, that I can watch that feels like, yeah, that's pretty good. I can live with this.
All right, really quick in and out. What the hell are we getting into this week for spoiler-free reviews? I have some that you need to watch, both of you together, and tell me I'm wrong. One, Palm Springs on Hulu. This is the Adam Sandberg and some chick that I like. I just can't think of her name. Time Warp Groundhog Day movie.
We don't have Hulu in Canada.
Well, you can find it, I'm sure.
Okay.
But Palm Springs, it's a lot of fun. It's like an hour and a half. It's a Groundhog Day movie with a little bit more humor, and it's a little deeper than that, but I had way more fun with it than I should have. I might make it be part of Chronovember.
I think we have that on Netflix Canada.
You probably do, because you have everything on that.
Yeah,
Netflix Canada buys everything that the other ones don't do.
I was looking forward to actually discovering that. It looks really cool.
It's rom-commy and a lot of fun with a lot of heart.
That next one I can't wait to watch, but I've been waiting for a moment by myself to watch it.
Yeah.
Ford versus Ferrari. It took me about a half hour to get into it because I wasn't really wanting another period piece, but I'm like, I'm going to do this, and... I bought in. There were a few times where I literally like threw my arms up in the air. It's a really good movie.
Bunch of men working on cars trying to beat each other.
But there's heartfelt stuff, and yeah, it is that, although I guess all of it.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to watch it.
A lot of moments where like men hug each other while hitting each other.
Pretty much. Yeah. Smack them on the butt. Yeah, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
My favorite is Rocky III, like running with... Apollo, like in the ocean in short shorts because they just ran and they're happy.
Gotham by Gaslight. I was slumming for a DC comic, and this had
a great
one. Had only 6% or it's like 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like, you know what,
what?
I'm doing it. Yeah, because I looked up Red Hood and that was like 90, and this was maybe 65-56, something like that, and I was like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's because this is more artistic. People did not get it. Jack the Ripper.
It was all sorts of nuanced, and I really liked it. I almost wanted Jack the Ripper to be like the Joker or somebody without being the Joker. But
yeah.
I like how, you know, Selina Kyle, spoiler free. Just, it's good.
Spoiler free.
And then Fire in the Sky. I'm a sci-fi nerd, and you know, it was supposedly based on a true story, and I've read all the documentaries, and I saw a documentary about it, and it reignited my love for a 1993 movie with Robert Patrick about Travis Walton being taken for 5 days in a UFO, apparently, and it's not a good movie, not at all, but it touches me in the spot on the doll of nostalgia, so... I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just not perfect. You know, it's basically a reenactment of a guy's story. So there's not a lot of a beginning, middle, and an end. It's just polygraphs and some special effects and trauma. So I don't know. Again, it was fun. Wing, what have you been watching or doing?
I'm watching whatever Taco is watching these days. So I'm going to let her talk about that. I've been playing Injustice. We talked about that a little bit, but I really got into it. So I've played, I think, like something like 12 hours of that this week, according to the counter and the thing. So that's been pretty much my free time, to be honest. So and the rest.
Fighting for the TV air time over here.
What are you watching, Taco?
I have been watching, and Wing is really happy about this, Voyager.
Star Trek.
So much Star Trek Voyager. So, spoiler free. No, but really, it's been good. I mean, it took a while for me to really get on board. The first 3-4 episodes, the only way I could get through them was really just to not pay attention too much. And some other episodes are still like that. But I watch it. I have a lot of time in my life where I'm just watching TV while falling asleep. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that I'm doing a lot recently, and it's the perfect time for a show like that. Some episodes keep me up. If they're not that great, then I just slumber to them, and I'm happy like that. And then sometimes I'm like, what happened here? Oh, gotta go watch this one again, because I don't know what the heck just happened.
Where did the Borg come from?
I hate it when
spoiler
it's
free
a good episode and you can't make it through it, though. There's like 5 or 10 minutes in the middle that just always put you to bed. I have stuff like that, and I gotta sit up in bed like the third night I try to watch it for those 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
I have movies like that and I've never went through them, like always falling asleep and trying. And like, one is a Wesley Snipes movie. It's called Murder at the 1600.
That's a fun flick.
That's every time, mid movie, and I tried a good 5-6 times.
Wow.
Every time at the same place.
Try first thing in the morning. So other than that, I started watching Narcos Mexico, which is really good. It's not my kind of thing usually, but I was in a mood to watch things about criminality in Mexico. So I watched Sicario 1 and 2, and then I just went right into Narcos Mexico. And it's really good. It's a really good cast. It's a lot of speaking Spanish, so it's really refreshing that way. A lot of subtitles. So I know you're not a fan, Beef.
No, you'd be surprised. I've been liking subtitles.
Oh, yeah. He's good now. He made us watch Parasite.
I was the first one to watch Parasite on this cast.
Wow.
He's the one that watched the Oscar movie now.
Hmm. No, just that one.
Just that one. And other than that, I've started the second season of True Detective, and it's true that after how amazing and cohesive the first season is, this is kind of like going in every direction. It's got a lot of loose threads. You're not really sure what's going on or who you're following, or, you know, there's no mystery except what the heck is going on. So
the third season is way better than I think even the first. The first was great, but the third season's got Mahershala Ali, and it's the they've always done it on that show, but the prosthetics and the makeup of aging people is amazing.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and that's part of the reason why I'm watching season 2. I know it has nothing to do with it. I probably just watch season 3.
You're just a completist.
It's still an
anthology thing. You don't like that season, you go to the next.
I know, but I'm that kind of person. I have to see how they got there, you know.
Flash the light 3 times when you enter a room.
But if someone says, you know, what episode you end on, you're like, 2. And they're like, it just got good at 3. Then you'd feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not true. We're still at the episode before it got good in Orphan Black.
Orphan Black.
So
that happens.
You got to episode 3, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for a last update on my part, I am at 885 hours sunk into my Animal Crossing island. Thank you very much.
I love you for standing up at the sharing zone and sharing how much your addiction costs.
I buy too many games to have impressive numbers that way.
I wouldn't even want to look at how many hours I've spent on Clash Royale over the last 3 years.
Oh my god, no, I don't want you to check. Didn't you wake up in the middle of the night at some point to do shit?
Oh yeah, I always do. Not always, but anyways. So, yeah, next time, Legends Podcast, Birdman.
That's my still favorite never seen movie it, so. Of all time. So
you've never seen
no,
it, Beef?
I know, I'm excited.
Oh, it's good.
Well, it's hey, so good. You're more than welcome to come back and be the food foursome trio if you're not doing nothing next Tuesday. Lobster will be back. We get all four of us foodies on here, and because I'm excited for it. But thank you for joining us this week, Taco.
Well, thank you for having me. I always love it.
Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us at legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S for shiny black leather suits. This has been episode 481 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, damn, that's a lot of talking.
I'm John D saying, I always like to have some tacos.
And I'm Shark Taco saying, God works way too slow.
He does, eh?
Yeah.
The guy sleeps on Sunday and leaves thing going for like one or two centuries.
I need a freaking lightning bolt sound right there. Right. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.